The case of a journalist being spied on by police in Montreal is raising questions about resetting the bar for law enforcement surveillance of reporters in Quebec. Steve Rukavina is a reporter at the CBC in Montreal, and he's been following the twists and turns of this case. And he joins us now on the line for our Friday Regional Report. Steve, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Good morning.
Now, all of this came to light when it was learned that a reporter for a French-language newspaper in Montreal was having his communications, including texts, phone calls, even his whereabouts via GPS, tracked by Montreal police. First of all, why were the police tracking this journalist?
This is a journalist who is both a reporter but a columnist as well. And he's one of the most well-known columnists in Quebec. His name is Patrick Lagacé. He appears on TV as well. So he's a well-known figure, a household name in Quebec. And at the time, Montreal police were investigating one of their own officers, internal affairs case, for allegedly falsifying evidence. And in the course of their investigation of this officer, they looked at his phone records and found that he had made phone calls to this journalist, Patrick Lagacé. So they decided, well, we want to know, what he's been saying to Patrick Lagacé or how many calls he's had or if he's the source of leaks about this case. So they went to a justice of the peace, and the justice of the peace gave them a warrant allowing them to track Patrick Lagacé's cell phone, to track the numbers of all incoming calls, the numbers of all outgoing calls, and that includes text messages too. And as well, even going a step further, as you mentioned, and allowing them to tap into the GPS device on Patrick Lagacé's cell phone and to track his movements. And they were doing this for months since the start of this year. And Patrick Lagacé just found out about this last week when a colleague of his who was covering the police investigation said to him, hey, your name keeps coming up in this. And so Patrick Lagacé and lawyers from La Presse, the newspaper he works for, made some calls and found out that this surveillance had been happening.
Well, why was it so easy for the police to get this warrant from the Justice of the Peace to track this journalist?
Well, that's the question, because there are in the Canadian Constitution provisions for when you want to do surveillance or get a warrant on a journalist, and they're quite strict. And it seems that at first blush, this just didn't meet the test there. One of the interesting things was it wasn't a judge who granted these warrants. It was a justice of the peace who has lesser powers than a judge. And some people, I spoke to a retired judge who said there has been a chronic problem with justices of the peace in that they don't have the training to understand when is the threshold when they can grant surveillance warrants. And also that they're often very close to police and prosecutors who are requesting these warrants and sometimes have a tendency to rubber stamp them.
And Steve, people in the States may be able to relate to this story a little more when you talk a little bit about what's known as Bill C-13. Is there a parallel sort of here with the Patriot Act? Because as I understand it, some of this, let's say, extraordinary powers of police to do this kind of surveillance was tied up sort of with this bill, which had something to do with cyberbullying or something related to that.
Yeah, the bill was initially tied to, well, it was tied to cyberbullying and a way of preventing that. But it did give police more investigative powers, and it did give more powers in terms of granting warrants. It was never intended, obviously, to be used to track journalists, but it seems as though some police and some prosecutors did interpret it that way, and so that's how this came about.
And the way the law is written, the people that are being tracked may never know that they were being spied on. The police don't have to actually inform them even after the investigation is done. Is that right?
That's true. Police are not obliged to inform them. In this case of Patrick Lagacé, once he learned that he was the subject of this through his colleague, he contacted police and they did agree to meet with him, and investigators met with him and they explained precisely why he was under surveillance. And they said, look, we never, even though we obtained the power to track your GPS, we never actually did it. So they were trying to assuage him, but he was still outraged, as are many journalists and politicians and lawyers and members of the general public in Quebec right now.
Well, what about that outcry? May there be some changes to the law here because of that?
I think it's definitely possible. The Journalist Federation in Quebec is calling for the laws to be strengthened. The heads of all the major newsrooms in Montreal signed an open letter calling for changes to the law. Even some politicians are saying the laws need to be tightened, and not just at the provincial level, but even in Ottawa. The Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, said, he commented on this, basically saying, we're willing to look at that, protecting journalists and confidential sources. And just this morning, in fact, the provincial government has announced that it's going to hold a full public inquiry into the issue of protection of journalistic sources.
One of the things I was reading about in your reporting on this is that police were sort of trying to explain this away by saying that what they were looking at were, you know, information about the phone calls he was making, who he was contacting, but not the content. Is that explanation, is there a different burden of proof if police want to look at the content of conversations, let's say, that a journalist may be having with a source?
There is a different burden of proof. It would be a lot harder for police to get a warrant to actually wiretap the phone of a journalist and monitor their conversation. So that might be one of the reasons why they were able to get these warrants, is there's a lower threshold in terms of just tracking the data or the metadata on a cell phone than there is to actually record the conversations. And that, we should be clear, journalists' conversations on their phones were never recorded in this case.
And the other reason I imagine there's been such an outcry here is because this does not apply just to reporters, journalists, but the general public as well, right?
Exactly. So it's interesting because sometimes as journalists, when we do stories about journalists, we wonder, does the public care, or are we just talking in an echo chamber here? But one of the newspapers actually did some polling on this after the story broke and found that there was a really high level of interest among Quebecers in this. 4 out of 5 people surveyed were aware of the story, and 3 out of 4 felt it was unacceptable and felt that something should be done about this. And the pollster said it's kind of rare to get that consensus in Quebec, where there's usually such division in political matters. So it shows that it's not just journalists here who are concerned about this. Members of the public in Quebec are concerned as well, because investigative journalists have broken big stories in this province that have particularly uncovering municipal corruption in Montreal in the billions of dollars. And so people, I think, recognize that journalists have a role. And investigative journalists in Quebec, many of them are household names. They're stars. And so people feel that that's something precious to them. And that's why I think the government had no choice but to act.
Steve Rukavina is a reporter at the CBC in Montreal. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.